Amen. Glory to God. I'm going to read you something here in a minute from my mentor that he put out this week. I think it was this week. I hope it was him. I know it came from his church. But last time we were here, we're talking about rest. If there's anything the church lacks, it's rest. The church does not know how to rest. We're all wound up. We waste our challenges, our trials, and our tribulations. We spend time worrying about them instead of just stopping everything and just lifting up our hands and giving him praise. Woo! Bless the Lord. So we're going to go back to Romans chapter 4, verse 9. And it says something like this. It tells us, it says, there remains a rest, a Sabbath, for God's people. Everybody say today. There's a rest for God's people today. Amen. I said there's a rest for God's people today. Amen. There's a rest for God's people today. When we receive our born-again nature, when we receive the life of God on the inside of us, that Sabbath moved in. Now, you know who the Sabbath is? That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Do you remember the example I gave you a couple of weeks ago about why it was against the law if a man picked up firewood or he watered his animal on the Sabbath day, they would kill him? Did you remember why it was such a harsh thing in God's eyes? Because, see, if he didn't do that, then what it meant was your salvation could be earned by works. And let me tell you something, there's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. It cannot be earned. You can't earn it. So it's by grace. And all of that in the Old Testament was type and shadow of the Sabbath. It was type and shadow of a rest. And men and women of God today, you've got to learn how to enter into your rest. I'm serious. You've got to learn to enter into your rest. When you're going through some tough times, man was not designed to carry the trials and tribulations. I believe when it's all said and done, we're going to find out one of the main things that generates Alzheimer's and dementia is all the trials and testings that we go through, and we bear up under them. We bear up under them. You know, and you know, a huge place that I see most of happening is at funerals. We weep like we'll never see these people again. And when I went to my mother's funeral, I didn't weep. And they were like, what's wrong with him? Because I'm rejoicing. I've entered into my rest. I know where my mother is. No need of me weeping. I refuse to mourn for somebody who's in a better place than me. Ain't no need of me mourning for her. She's walking on streets of gold, eating from the finest of tables, lack for nothing. The opulence in heaven, beyond your imagination. Hebrews 4:9. So there remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. How many are people of God? There's a rest. And you ought to learn how to enter into that rest. When Jesus moved in your life, he brought with him that rest, and that rest is very similar to the rest that God entered into on the seventh day of creation. When we pray in the Spirit, how many of you can pray in tongues? I ain't afraid of praying in tongues. Now, if I went to go see the president, he may be a little offended. But if it slipped out, it just slips out. When we pray in the Spirit, when we pray in tongues, we are literally communicating with God, spirit to spirit. And it's at that time that, listen to this, that we activate the rest wherewith men may cause the weary to rest, and this is their refreshing. Now, what verse is that? It's Isaiah 28, man. This is the refreshing. Whereby the weary shall be refreshed with stammering lips. Oh, come on, somebody. Woo! Man, them verses make me want to shout. You got to me too late trying to talk me out of praying in tongues. You just got here too late. As I said before, I mean, when I first came on the scene of praying in tongues, I just told everybody. I mean, it was like a kid with a new toy. I told it to everybody. And I know what they said. He'll, in about 2 or 3 years, it'll die down. Watch. He won't even think about praying in tongues. Baby, I'm sure growing strong. I ain't slowed down yet. I ain't slowed down yet. Don't know about you, but I'm entering into my rest. When you begin to speak and when you begin to break into private worship and spend whatever time it takes praying in tongues to bring the rest forward in your mind, then you'll begin to experience more of God's rest. It'll cause your mind to settle down, and you'll become a receiver of revelation knowledge, of wisdom, yes, mysteries, and receiving from God. The church needs to know God is not holding back his revelation. God's not holding back who he is. Listen, I told one guy one time, and I don't know if it came out of my spirit or I heard it from someplace, but I said, God can tell himself anything. And they were like, what does that mean? I said, well, when you get close enough, you hear what he's saying to himself. You hear him. You hear what he's saying to himself. God will tell you anything. He'll answer any question. All you have to do is be able to get slow down and rest long enough to hear him. It'll cause your mind to settle down. Many here tonight, we've reached a point in our walk with him that we can read the Bible and pray in tongues at the same time. Man, when I broke into that, I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. I read a book one time, cover to cover, praying in tongues. Praying in tongues. Why? I wanted my soul involved with what I was reading. My soul and my spirit connected with what I was reading. See, we no longer have to struggle to quiet our mind. Why? Because we've entered into that rest. That's the whole point I want to get with you. Explain to you. When you begin to rest, you can read a book and you can pray in tongues at the same time. Because you know why? Your mind's not on something else that you can't solve. Your mind's sitting there listening to God. And that's the frequency you were designed to be on and stay on. The rest is similar to waking up in the morning with your mind clear and free of any worries until you start thinking about the problems you couldn't solve yesterday. But there is a way you can enter into this rest anytime you want to, just because you want to, for however long you want to. It is a job. Now get this. Now I'm starting to teach now. It's the job of the Holy Ghost to bring you into this rest. All right. But if you never spend time praying in tongues, honey, you'll search for this rest from end to end, from church to church, from pew to pew, from congregation and pastor to pastor, and you'll never find that rest. You'll never find it. The rest is not in another man. The rest is in you. The rest is in Jesus. That's where the rest is. The rest is you spending time with the Holy Spirit, communicating with to him, spirit to spirit. Can't make it any plainer than that. I can't make it any simpler than that. Now, the thing is, I make it that simple. You know what you'll say? Oh, that's easy. Well, go pray for an hour. Then I see how easy it is. See, I used to think that private worship, spending time in private worship for an hour, I can do that. Until I tried it for 5 minutes, and I went, I got a ways to go. But I'm telling you, if you can stay in there for an hour, man, he'll come. Amen. He'll show up. Amen. So tonight, well, let me go on. He has the answer to every one of your problems. His role in your life is to bring you the mind of Christ. It is his job to put you in on the right path. It is his job to bring you into the rest. And one way he accomplishes that is through worship. So tonight, I want to pick up here. Go over to John 16:13. This is very familiar. This was my bottom line. God gave me this scripture before I really knew what praying in tongues was all about. I had the baptism, but I didn't know what it was all about. And God began to break me in on John 16:13. And I believe it says something like this. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you, not force you, not coerce you, but he will lead you, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not, he doesn't speak of himself, but whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak. That's the first level. Whatever he hears from heaven, he wants to tell you. That's the first level of leading of the Holy Ghost. That's the first level of following and listening to the Holy Ghost. Then there's a second level. And most Christians never get to this level. They never attain to this level. Because you can't, first of all, you don't get to the first level where you listen to him. You listen to your mind. You listen to reasoning. You listen to what the problems say. But you don't get quiet enough for him to tell you, be quiet. Just sit still for a minute. Don't do anything. Shh. Don't defend yourself. Don't defend yourself. I got your back. But they don't know you got my back. They don't need to know. I'm more powerful than anybody in this room. Just chill out. The first level, he leads you and guides you. He leads you and guides you. He speaks to you. Second level, this is the level you ought to get to. He shows you things to come. Oh, come on, somebody. Gosh, I want some of that. I want more of that. I want him to show me some things. What's going to happen at the end of 2017? How many lives are going to be changed? How many people are going to get healed? Am I going to see your power working in the church again? Am I going to see resurrection power again? Show me some things to come. I want to see them. But you're not going to see them until you enter into that rest. You don't have to beg him. Excuse me. It is his job to teach you how to offer your soul in worship. That's where I'm going with these verses. He is here to teach you how to worship God. He's here to teach you how to worship God. You don't have to beg him. It's something that he'll do as long as you spend time with him. He wants you to know him more than you want to know him. Remember my posture one day? He seeketh such. Mm-hmm. Where they at? Where they at? Mm-hmm. I'm waiting on them. Where are they? Yeah. Where are they? Here come one. Here come one. Lord. And there should be a gang of us coming. Amen. God created us to fellowship, and there's very little church knows about worshiping him. The presence that comes from worship is different from the edification that comes from praying in other tongues. Now listen to this. Praying in tongues deals with my spirit, and private worship has more to do with my soul and my senses. Are you getting this now? See, every discipline has a different objective. When I want revelation, when I want to, for God to reveal himself to me, I spend extended hours in praying in tongues. I want to know him. I don't want to know what you know about him. I want to know what the Holy Ghost knows about him. Amen. When I want his wisdom or revelation knowledge, I pray in tongues. And it is my spirit that will receive the answer to the prayer. When I want his immediate presence, I worship him. Amen. Until he comes. Hallelujah. See, I could have stood up here. I could have sat up here another hour, and you'd have gotten bored, but I'd have been lost. Because I'd have been worshiping him. Because when I start worshiping like that, I go somewhere. I said I go somewhere. I'm not cognizant of you anymore. You can be saying amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I am in another place. I transcend what's here. I don't want to stay here. I want to go there. I want to be in that secret place. You know, people talk about closing your closet door. Listen, when you go in his presence, he closes the door for you. He says, come on in here, boy. And he just slams the door shut. He says, it's just you and me now. See, he doesn't want Bonnie in that room with him. He won't Bonnie in the same place with me, with him there. No. Well, I thought you loved your wife. Didn't say I didn't, but I love him more. Amen. I tell my wife twice a year, look in them big old brown eyes of hers, and I said, I want you to know something. I love you, but I love him more. Did you hear what I said? I love him more. And I pray she loves him more than she loves me. Amen. That's what it's all about. Amen. See, nobody gets... No one should be in his place but him. Now, it'll take a while for his presence to come when you first begin to break into worship. because of your flesh. But if you won't quit, I tell you this, there's an ironclad guarantee that he'll show up. Ironclad guarantee he'll show up. In fact, the only thing that's keeping him from showing up now is your flesh. It's the only thing. We're going to talk more about, I've got a message, man, on the brazen altar. Goodness gracious, I almost took off one day. Man, I broke into that brazen altar, and more, I've got more revelation and begin to grow, and I begin to meditate on Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Whew, that's Jesus. He became my sacrifice at that brazen altar. His blood was spilled on that brazen altar. His blood was spilled there. His blood was shed there. Now, when he left there, he went to hell for my sin and your sin. But when I come to that brazen altar, I go into his presence, the brazen altar. He is my brazen altar advocate. I don't want to preach that now, but I will one day. It's a good message, man. The more I met him, I just get full of it. Glory to God. And you know what? See, I can't think of anybody that taught me that. I heard one man mention it, and I went, brazen altar. That sounds like Romans chapter 12. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And then he ties this in there, which is your reasonable service. This is something we should be doing that's reasonable. It shouldn't be anything, any great expense for you to spend time with him. In John chapter 4, verse 23, he says this, the hour cometh. Now, I used to teach that. Let me say this. He told me to say this a while ago, and I kind of blew him off, but I'm going to go ahead and say this because I'm just that kind of guy. If I ever teach anything that you don't agree with, you have my permission to challenge me. However, let me say this. You better spend much time praying in the Spirit. Don't come to me with no nonsense, because I spend a lot of time praying in tongues, and I spend a lot of time over every message that I make. I get a lot of counsel over it. Every message that I prepare. I'm not saying my doctrine is perfect, but I'm just saying I don't teach very many things that are wrong, at least not intentionally, because I check and recheck and double check. And I'm going to teach on that. Well, I won't go there now. But I was going to have you riled up here for a while at me, but I won't go there now. Because I'll tell you what, we got some messages coming. They're going to rile the church up. Amen. I'm telling you, it's going to rile the church up. And you know why it's going to rile you up? Because it goes against tradition. And when you go back to the Word of God, you find out that, how many ever heard this? How many ever heard this saying? God won't put more on you than you can stand. You'll never find that in the Bible. And it's stuff like that that we've been taught and chewed on and thought, oh, glory, that has got to be good. And it got no truth in it at all. Amen. How many of you heard the statement? You're so spiritually minded, you know earthly good. Lied straight from the pit of hell. I pray you get so spiritually minded that you are no earthly good. I pray you get there. Amen. I pray you get there. The problem is the church is not heavenly minded enough. They're not spiritually minded enough. And it's the devil that's going, well, you're going to get too spiritually minded, and they're going to call you super spiritual, and they're going to call you this and all you that. You know, when I walk in one circle that are friends that I have, and they call me bishop. Been calling me bishop for the last 15 years, and they don't think I know what it means. I know what you're saying. You're mocking me. You think I know the Word of God more than you. I don't mind it. I don't have a problem with you calling me bishop. Don't bother me at all. I know you mean, I know you're mocking me. Okay, fine. But one day we'll stand before the judgment seat, the great white throne of judgment. Amen. And boy, in that first 30 minutes you're there, oh my goodness. The moment that you go over, and the moment those angels are taking you, escorting you to heaven, and you come to that throne room, your mouth will be shut. And your life will be played before you. And you'll sit there and you'll go, oh, gosh, oh, no, Lord, oh, no, oh, no. And you'll be before truth. So bottom line is, I'm saying, get the truth in you now. Make sure it's the truth. So anyway, I used to teach this verse wrong. That's why I said all that, to say this. I used to teach this verse wrong, and now I have the revelation on it. And it says, But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers. Well, I always say it like this. If there's true worshipers, there's false worshipers. Well, one day he came and just spanked my hand and said, that's not right. I said, well, okay, correct me. He says, it wasn't that they were false worshipers. They just couldn't worship me the way I wanted them to. They didn't have the right equipment. They did all they could do to worship me. They brought the animal sacrifice, and I accepted it. It was something that I set up for them, and it was okay. But I was looking for true worshipers all the time. I wanted people that could bring me what I wanted on the inside. And because they didn't have the right equipment, they weren't false worshipers. They just weren't necessarily true worshipers. Wow. But you are a true worshiper. Why? Because you have the right equipment. What is that, Pastor Craig? You have a new nature. And you can throw up your hands and say, I come to give you praise just because I can. Just because I want to, for however long I decide to, I come to give you praise. And he accepts your praise. But he says, but the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Now get this, this last phrase, for the Father seeketh such. In other words, he's begging folk to come and worship him. Listen, he'd make a deal with you for you to drop everything you got just to come and spend time and worship him. Yeah. You know the price he paid?
Yes, sir.
His only begotten son.
Right.
He paid the price.
Yes,
he wants you to come and worship him. And let me say this. Don't worship him when everything is going good.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's a good time to worship him. That's a good time to worship him, but I can show you a better time to worship him. When all H-E double hockey sticks is breaking out in your life, that's when you give him praise. That's when you give him praise. Oh, here's another message I'm going to bring. It's called the worship in heaven. The worship in heaven, it takes very little effort when God begins to send his glory wave out on the, what they call the sea. There's a crystal, a sea of crystal, but it's really the believers where they are. They're transparent, and they've grown to a place where they have no faults in them, and they don't mind God examining them up close, like, if you will. But the thing is this, when God sends out this wave, man, the angels in heaven, they begin to shout, holy! Holy, holy, and they circle around his throne 24 hours a day. There's no time in heaven, but they circle on his throne 24 hours a day, and every time they go around his throne, they see something different about him they've never seen before. When you get to heaven, now there's no days in heaven, but every day will be different than the previous day, and it will outshine the previous day. You, one day you'll go, God, you can't do better than this. You'll go, you just wait and see. You ain't seen nothing. Every day will get better and 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 better. Every day. And you think I want to stay here? You better be glad he's got an assignment for me to complete.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm getting off track here, but I'll give you another thing. Christians committing suicide. First of all, ain't your life to take. Second of all, when you get tired of living on the earth, just go to your bedroom. Tell your loved ones, hey, tomorrow morning at 5:15, I'm going home. And they'll look at you and go, well, you're already home. No, 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 no. I'm going home. I'm going there. And just use your faith and say, God, here I come. That's how I'm going. See, y'all look at me like a cow looking at a new gate. You ain't ready for that revelation. I can tell. You ain't ready for it yet. But see, that's where I'm at. I've already been there, man. You know, I'm not concerned about dying. I'm not concerned about seeing him. I've already seen him, per se, not the way Jesus has seen him, but I know who he is and how he is. He's been revealed in me. And to go to him, I'm not afraid to go to him. I go to him every day when I spend time in private worship. Amen. I go to him.
Amen.
And the thing is, one day when I get tired of messing with you, and he says, okay, come on home. You can come on home now. Deuces. I'm out. I'm gone. And let me tell you something. I pray. Now, this is my wife doing, but I pray there's no funeral. I pray there's no body. I pray all there is just, man, that was a bad boy for Jesus, and he's gone. That's all I want to hear. I don't want to hear no mourning. I want to hear no crying. I don't want to hear none of that. All I want to hear is, man, he was on fire for God.
Amen.
I don't know. We never saw him where he was. He's never had a bad day.
Wow.
Why? Because, folks, it's a speck.
Amen.
I wish I had some hairspray where I could just spray the spray in the air, and you see, the Bible says your life is a vapor. That's a mist. That's all your life is. It's a mist. And you're fussing about what kind of car you drive and what neighborhood you live in and what color your skin color is and who it likes you. Get over yourself. Let go of that. Listen, the people that have you feeling that way, they got more problems than you realize. The Father seeks our worship and is waiting for us to truly worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Regardless of the circumstances you may currently be in, if you will learn to worship him, you will learn to overpower your flesh.
Yes.
And he
yes.
will come.
Amen.
Yes, he will.
In fact,
Amen.
It is his will to come.
Amen.
So let's talk about the proper protocol for private worship. Go over to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 through 13, Jesus is teaching his disciples on the proper protocol for prayer. The protocol in prayer is akin to the protocol in worship. Let's look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, be ye therefore, that's not the one I want. Hold on, maybe it is. Oh, it is. Don't know my own notes. It says, be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask. Now, the language, please mark this down. And don't try to get this by your natural mind. Let your spirit man get a hold of this. The language in heaven is no. Not N-O-K-N-O-W. When we get to heaven, we won't talk. Per se. No. You'll just know I'm Elvin, you Steve. You'll just know, hey, let's go get some enchiladas over there. And I'll go, yeah. You could be on the other side of heaven. I could be on the north side. You could be on the south side. And we have the same thought, and we say, I'll meet you over there. And just like that, we're there.
Amen.
The language in heaven is no. God, when you get to heaven and you walk in that throne room, he's already reading your mail. You're already telling your off on yourself. Because when you get there, you're going to go, oh, I did. Oh, I said, oh, I didn't. Oh, no, I didn't do it. And he's reading your mail. He ain't got a big screen. He's just listening to you talk to yourself. Why? Because he knows. He knows. He knows you better than you know yourself. But he says this. He says, your heavenly Father knows what things you have need of. Ladies and gentlemen, he knows you more than you think. So the first thing is, the first prerequisite, you must know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your Father knows what you have need of before you come with any petition. And this must be an absolute in your life. When you come to that throne of grace and mercy, you've got to get it in your mind. He knows what's going on.
Amen.
So why am I going to rehearse it, thinking about it? Why am I going to bring my problems when he already knows what they are? He knows what disease I got. He knows how much money I ain't got. He knows the people that are hating on me. He knows it all.
Amen.
So why am I going to spend time with him, and we already knows, and rehearse all that nonsense. I'm not. I already know he knows, because he knows. He knows that he knows, and he knows you. So just make it up in your mind. He already knows what I'm going through. I ain't got to. In other words, don't do this. Jesus. Did you see what they did? And you think all of that is sanctified and righteous. And he's going, get you a Kleenex and clean up. He's not moved by that. Now, let me correct. He just corrected me. If you are young in the Lord, and that's how you come, he's okay with that. But after you've been around a couple of years, he ain't changing your diapers, friend. He ain't changing your stinky diaper. He's going to tell you to change your own diaper. Okay? He already knows. So when I come to worship him, I already know he knows my problems. He knows my faults. He knows my shortcomings. He knows everything about me. I'm not trying to hide anything. I'm not trying to slip something by him. Me worshiping him is not going to change his mind. Why I'm coming to worship him is to change my mind. Did you get that? I'm not coming to change his mind. He already knows the beginning from the end. He already knows what he said in his word. He already knows it's going to come to pass. He already knows what he's written. Now he wants me to know that what he knows is what's going to be in my life if I'll continue to operate my life or to run my life knowing that he knows. Don't think he doesn't know. Don't go up there going, God, why don't you care? Just slap him in the face. You may as well. Now I'm being funny, but my point is this. He knows. Everybody say he knows. Now, you can get to where you know him. Man, I know his thoughts. And sometimes I don't like that because I know what he's thinking about when I'm thinking about something else. When I'm thinking about somebody that I don't like, when I think about somebody I'm trying to judge, he goes, say it again. Now, if you think it, just wait till one day. If you think it, eventually you're going to say it. So you may as well stop it before it gets thought about so that you won't think about it long enough for you to say it. So stop it. He already knows. He knows what I'm thinking about you. And man, I tell you what, when I first started coming to worship and knowing he knew all this, I'm going, what chance do I have? And then the Holy Ghost said, psst, the brazen altar. Amen. He's already, he's your advocate. Amen. Don't worry about it. It's what the blood is for. He's purging you. He already knows what your faults are. He's trying to get you to see past your faults so you can begin to worship him in spirit and in truth. But this knowing is gained in private worship. When you spend time with him, you'll come to know him, who he is, and all that he and all what he can and will do. The next thing we must present in our lives for our prayers to be answered and to enter into private worship is found in verse 9. Verse 9 says this, after this manner, therefore ye pray. After this manner, this is how we're going to worship him. How do you worship him? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What does the word hallowed mean? It means holy. It means reverence. It means he must be worshipped. He must be reverenced. Amen. So I come with this attitude. Ain't nobody bigger than you. Amen. You are the great Jehovah. Yeah. You are El Shaddai. Yes. You are Adonai. Amen. But more than that, you're my Heavenly Father. He's my Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Father.
He's my Heavenly Father. Can you imagine? You ever heard this term? Someone says, man, that person, that the sun rises and sets on them. You ever heard this thing before? Well, God, the sun rises and sets on God. Amen. Ain't nobody bigger and better than him.
Amen.
None. So the thing is this. Mm-hmm. You have to have it in your heart to where you worship him. Mm-hmm. Even when all H-E double hockey sticks is breaking out in your life, you got to realize his name is to be worshipped.
Yes.
You know what that'll avoid? God, why are you letting this happen to me? God, I thought you loved me. God, I'm your boy. Why is it happening? You won't come doing all that.
That's right.
Now, I know I'm putting it on, I'm laying on thick, but I'm doing it for a reason. You have to understand his name is to be worshipped.
Amen.
He's not a weak God. He's not an iffy God. He's not a sometime God.
Amen.
He's an always God. He's an absolute God. He's a promise keeper and a way maker. He's a miracle worker. Come on, somebody. Hello, somebody. I like that song, by the way. I love that song. Yay. Yes, sir. Yes, he is. To the Jews, God's name is as holy as God himself. In fact, God's name was so holy to the Jews, they never wrote his full name for fear of bringing disrespect to it or to God. Today, we are to reverence that same name in him too, not just in our prayers, but in our daily lives. Everything we do should be done with reverence to him. We enter into his presence with praise and thanksgiving. There's no other way to enter into this secret place of the Most High. There's no other way to dwell in this presence except through worship. There's no other way. Now, you can go into some anointed corporate worship, and you can go, man, it was thick. Man, it was a heavy presence in that room. But that presence, God does not respect that presence as much as he respects it. I don't mean to say that, but he doesn't respect it to the same degree when you get one-on-one with him. Now, that kind of worship, it pays you big dividends in heaven. Come on, somebody. Now, I know I'm teaching on something strange to many of you. You never heard of this concept, private worship. But I'm telling you, I found out about it several years ago, and it has revolutionized my life.
Amen.
It has got me to the point where I don't have to fear you. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how white you are, how black you are, how mean you are, how silly you are, how bad you are. I don't have to fear you.
Amen.
I don't have to fear you.
Amen.
I used to get around people that had a lot of wealth, and I'd go, how do you act around them? I act just like God acts. I don't respect you. I'm not a respecter of persons. I don't respect your money. You know why I don't respect your money and you got bunches of it? Because it ain't doing nothing to further the kingdom of God. It's just furthering your kingdom. And God ain't honored by it. He ain't moved by it. He's not impressed by your money at all. And I'll say this. You take a guy like Bill Gates, a guy that's a multi-billionaire. God's not impressed with his money. God's impressed when he takes his money and begins to further the kingdom of God with it. That's why in these last days, the wealth of the wicked, baby, is laid up for the righteous. And there's coming an outpouring. There's coming a transference of money. And I'm going to tell you something. If you got a bunch of it, you better serve God because I'll have it. Now, here's the difference. Here, I'm not saying it to be funny. Here's the difference. When I get it, I'm going to further the kingdom of God with it. I'm not going to sit there and go, well, I could buy anything in this store. I could buy any car on this showroom floor. No, I'm going to buy the precious soul way over in some foreign country. That's what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to send the gospel all over the world. Why? That's what God wants you to do with your money.
That's right.
Glory to God.
Amen.
I don't know how I got off on that. Well, I guess I want you to reverence God with your money as well as with your personal time.
Amen.
Now, God doesn't mind you wearing nice clothes. God doesn't mind you living in a nice house, driving a nice car.
That's right.
But when that's what you do for, in other words, if that's your sole motivation, you're missing it.
Mm-hmm.
You're missing it. Well, I got to look good for the folk that sit up in the front of the church. I could talk about them folk in front of the church, but I'm not going to. Lastly, we must know that he has placed us in his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to know that you know.
Mm-hmm.
You are in the kingdom of God. No, you're not going to be. No, you're not trying to qualify. No, the moment you got born again, you were placed in the kingdom of God. Now, let me tell you something about this kingdom. In this kingdom, it rules and reigns over this earthly kingdom. This earthly kingdom was created by that kingdom. The Bible tells us, Jesus told his disciples, he said, when you go out two by two, he says, be sure and say this, the kingdom is nigh unto you. Well, baby, that why did he say that? Because the kingdom was nigh, because Jesus was ushering in that kingdom. But darling, that kingdom now lives inside there. That's where that kingdom is. It's in there. It's in there. And you have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that kingdom with all of its opulence lives in there. Now, when you learn that, you'll spend the rest of your life trying to exhaust everything in that kingdom. You'll never do it, but you'll have fun trying. Hey! And it's not so you can have brand new cars. It's not so you can live in the best house. It's not so you can walk around and everybody say you're the spiritual. No, it's on the opposite. It's so that people can see that you love the less fortunate. Well, people can see that you are God's man or woman, but you still are out to help everybody. You still want to shed the kingdom of God. Money doesn't affect you. Natural things don't pull you apart, don't make you do things. I didn't start this Bible study to get rich. If that would have been the case, I've been broke by now. Because I'm yet to draw a salary from this Bible study. I'm not complaining. But my point is, I didn't do this to get rich. It come 5 years from now, if God still has me doing this, I still won't do it to get rich. Well, how do you know that? Because I seek him first every day. Now, let me read you something. This is from my mentor. I think it's from my... Did you see this week? You didn't? You read it? Okay, it's good.
Amen.
It truly is good. Oh, and let me say this before I read this. The immersion rally,
mm-hmm.
next time, the subject is going to be intercessory prayer.
Amen.
The church has got to learn how to intercede.
Amen.
You're not praying for your foreign no more. The kingdom of God is in you. There's things that we need to do in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
There are mountains that we need to bring down. We need this. These hurricanes. Intercessory prayer should be stopping that.
Amen.
We shouldn't be having rain where people get flooded out of their homes.
Amen.
We should be stopping that.
Amen.
There should be no more droughts. We should be stopping
Amen.
That.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. How many have been coming to this Bible study? How long have we been here? A year?
Three.
No, here.
Yeah.
A year? About a year?
Yeah.
Let me see your hands. How many have gotten rained on coming over here? We prayed that prayer when we first moved in here.
Amen.
It's no coincidence, folks.
Hallelujah.
It's no coincidence.
Praise the Lord.
You think you God? I think I'm his son.
Amen.
And I'm absolutely certain that that kingdom resides in me.
Amen.
And if my elder brother could tell a storm to sit down and shut That's right. up, then I can.
Amen.
And I ain't afraid to say it. No, I'm not. I'm not. I spent the time with him. I know what he wants me to do. Now, I don't go around going, I'm stopping these hurricanes. No. What I'm saying is this. We're all, you're not the only body that's praying here in Houston, Texas like this. There's other bodies praying like this. But the problem is, the point is this. We need more of y'all praying like that. And you ought to be able to call and say, Pastor Frank, what's up, man? Listen, those cancer patients, I don't like that anymore. Well, glory to God. You've been talking to my father. What are we going to do about the Pastor Craig? Well, what did he tell you to do? Well, he told me we need to get some intercessory prayer and come against that stuff. Well, let's get her done.
Amen.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Now, we ain't got to argue about that. We ain't got to debate that. Let's get her done.
Yeah.
How many have lost somebody with cancer in your family? Distant relative, friend? See, everybody's hands up. Mm-hmm. It's affected all of us. Well, listen, do you realize how much power is in you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize cancer has no more power than you? None. Okay, I got carried away. Let me get back to my prophecy here.
It's good.
It starts out like this. There is a crossroads, pearl, a crossroads of ways. There is a way that seemed right to a man, but the end therein is destruction. Many have pursued their financial strategies and pursued other ways to come out on top. And I am kind, patient, and all-seeking as I look upon the heart. But there is a crossroads where decisions are made. Now get this. To pursue me more intently. For haven't I said to seek first my kingdom, which is to know me, and my way of doing things, that's the kingdom of God. To learn of me, that's the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. To learn to hear me, mm-hmm. that's the kingdom of God. And to know my promptings, that's the kingdom of God. And to follow me as I lead, that's nothing but the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Now, many of you, you're using your natural brain right now. Get out of your natural brain and use your spiritual mind. Mm-hmm. Allow the mind of Christ to come forward. I'm talking about that kingdom that's on the inside of you.
Amen.
That's what I'm speaking about right now. There's a kingdom on side of you. It'll prompt you. It'll guide you. It'll talk to you. You can listen to it. It's got all the answers. It's got age. It's got wisdom that you've never heard before. It's not the wisdom of the world. It is the wisdom from above. Bless God. As you stand at the crossroads, I will still walk in graciousness and mercy. See, he doesn't get upset with you when you're going your own way. Why? He's a God of love. He doesn't care. If you don't pray in tongues, if you never worship him, if you'll just act halfway right, you'll get to heaven. But you'll be sad the day you walk in there. You know why? Because he'll pull the curtain back. And he'll say, this is all you could have had. Some of you could have, now get this, some of you're supposed to own Bank of America.
Amen.
Some of you're supposed to start restaurants.
Amen.
Some of you're supposed to start businesses.
Amen.
Some of you are supposed to, you have witty ideas and inventions. And when he pulls that curtain back and you see what you left behind, you'll weep and you'll cry.
Wow.
You'll break. Do you remember the verse in heaven that says, he'll wipe their tears away? That's why, in my opinion, that's why he's wiping those tears away, because you get there. Now, you're glad to get there. I mean, you kiss the ground, you go, Jesus, I made it! Oh, you'll be happy. But then he'll pull the curtain back. He'll pull the curtain back. And he'll say, you could have had all of this. You know, my confession is, when he pulls the curtain back, there's going to be just a few things left. Just a few things left. I'm going to exhaust everything I can take with me here. I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can. What am I talking about? I'm talking about spending time with him. Oh, man. Oh, gosh. Here we go. I will still walk in graciousness and mercy with you if you continue to trust in your way of doing things, but you will continue to go from one circumstance to another. Now, what he's saying here is this. You don't know the kingdom within you, and you're bouncing from circumstances to circumstances. You're telling yourself, if I can just get past this thing, I'll have it made. And you get past that thing, bam, and you're like, oh, gosh. You know why? Because the devil's got you on the track. And he'll keep leading you around. You'll put all your effort into getting that thing accomplished. And when you get it accomplished, guess what? Here comes something else. But if you learn to spend time in that kingdom, come on, somebody. If you learn to fellowship and spend time worshiping him, I'm talking to somebody. I don't know who's struggling here tonight. I don't know what you're going through tonight. But somebody here is struggling with something. If you learn to spend time with him and get quiet with him, he'll whisper the answer to you.
Amen.
And we'll tell you something. If you're not spending time with him, he could shout the answer to you and you still wouldn't recognize it. Can I just get messy? Many of you may be going through sickness and disease, and you hear from the pastor from the pulpit, he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. And you hear that and you'll go, it ain't helped me none. You know why? Because you're not spending any time in the kingdom. And you're so earthly minded, you're no spiritual good.
Wow.
Hello, somebody. If that don't nail your mail tonight, whoo! Okay, let me finish up here. You'll continue to go from one circumstance to another. You will not find the peace and the confidence that resides inside when hearing and obeying me. And the giants of independent thoughts and reasoning and the emotions that lead to decision making will still occupy your life. And you'll be hindered from following me into your victory. Can I tell you what that sounds like? I'm never going to get past this. I'll never accomplish what she's accomplished in God. It's a lie from the pit of hell. And if you keep listening to that, it will take you there. But let me tell you something tonight. You want to shut that thing off? Get into your closet and begin to say, I love you. I worship you. I magnify you. I love you with all of my heart. I love you more than life itself. I better stop, because if I keep going on, I'm going somewhere. And you're going to be here, and I'm going to still be worshiping God. And you're going to want to shut the lights off, and I'm going to be going, uh-uh, just leave me behind, because I'm having a good time. See, that's where he's trying to take us. Take time with me, saith God. The quietening of the soul is one of the major steps toward steps forward in walking with me. And as you take time with me and you're quiet and quiet your soul in the calm of you and me, you will find advancement will come much more quickly than you have ever believed. For I have paved out a way ahead of you for you to walk as you take times with me. Quit allowing the world to tell you that you're too busy to spend time with God. Tell the world to shut up.
Amen.
Our walk is first of all a fellowship. And as you increase through these times of fellowship with me, you will find much greater closeness will take place between you and me, saith God. Seek me first, so that in knowing me more intimately, I may reveal things you have been missing and not understanding. And as you become more dedicated to you and me, you will find stillness and peace increasing in your relationship with me, opening up to a new vista of possibilities. Finances are only one part of the life in me. And truly, my way is fellowship, knowing me, walking closely, so that in all areas of your life, you are walking close with me and doing mighty exploits in my name. Private worship. I realize the concept to many of you, it is new. And I understand you have not been taught about it. But it's a key that it doesn't unlock God's door, because God's door is not locked. But it's a key to releasing you from your own flesh. Many of you struggle. Why is my flesh fight me so? Because he's trying to keep you from God's perfect plan in your life. That's what it's designed by the devil to do. That's what the fall brought. It's the law of sin and death. It's like the law of gravity. All it knows is one thing. If I let go of this fall, what happens? It's going to fall. Well, you keep going in the wrong pathway, what's going to happen? You're going to keep failing and keep failing and keep failing and keep failing and keep failing. And you're going to go, God, why don't you love me? God, what did I do? And he's going, you don't know the kingdom of God is in you. You don't know I'm to be worshipped. You don't know that I lead you on two levels. I speak to you and I'll show you things to come.
Amen.
Woo, I don't know about you, but I done preached myself happy. Glory to God. You ought to let me be gone for 2 weeks, boy. That's the kind of preaching you're going to get. Talking about, we miss Bonnie. I know how to fix that, don't I? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I don't mind y'all missing her. I ain't jealous now. I'm just having some fun. All right, is anybody in here that is not born again?